welcome to Tea Time. This is a weekly pop culture podcast on the Ringer Podcast Network. I'm Liz Kelly.
I'm Kate Hallowell.
And I'm Amelia Wedemeyer. And today we're checking in with the tea bag.
Woohoo!
Yeah!
Woo! Love these episodes.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, that's it. We're checking in with the tea bag. Before we get into the show, let's take a quick break.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com. This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com, tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else.
So before we get into the teabag, we just want to say congratulations to Ryan Wood. This was a request from Valerie Watts Defoe. Ryan is getting married, and he's also a 34-year-old man. So
that's who not listens to Tea Time specifically.
Yeah, right. That's the rare part.
Exactly. That's why we had to do it. Because normally we don't do this kind of stuff, but
Gotta give it up for Ryan.
Gotta give it to Ryan.
This is huge.
Yeah. Yes, congrats.
I wonder what Ryan enjoys about this podcast. I don't know. I feel like it can be enjoyable.
We're delightful.
Sometimes. Yeah. Yeah. You know. All right. Well, have a great weekend, Ryan
yes.
Wood.
Congrats on your lifelong love.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's do some questions. So we've broken this down into obviously a couple categories. We're starting with celebs. Obviously, I'm going to try to get through these usernames, but some of you guys have quite difficult ones, so we're just going to try. So, first question is from Maxon. That's okay.
A lot of M's.
Yeah. The question is, what legit celebrity will be the next to go viral on TikTok? Kate, your answer?
This is a great question. And my answer is that we don't need a new one because we already have Mandy Patinkin.
Wow.
And my example that I'm going to use is actually from Twitter, but he has been very active on TikTok with his wife. And it's just like charming and quirky. And I just love everything about them. But this week, and I was looking for an excuse to talk about this, he posted a video and he said, "Date our friend. Hanging out with Elon on a rainy morning. He's the best. If interested, email him at," and then he has an email, "or DM him." And then he goes, "Hashtag true love, hashtag matchmaking, hashtag matchmaker, hashtag marriage," which is a great Princess Bride reference.
Yeah. Wow, it is.
Hashtag find Elon love, hashtag fall in love. And then he has this video with this poor man who is like their single friend. He looks like he's maybe, I don't know, in his 40s. He's in his late 30s, just came up. And it's almost his birthday. And they're like, "We have to find him love." So Mandy Patinkin has posted this video of this man. And he's just like, seems really likable. And like this dog, he like hugs a dog in the middle of the video, but like not in a contrived way. Mandy's been posting pictures of him. He's just really, really trying to find his friend love. So just, cool. I just love it. That's just like the vibe of Mandy Patinkin on social media. It's just like very wholesome daily life. And it just makes me smile every time I see it. So that's my take, is that Mandy Patinkin has just solved social media and we don't need anyone else.
Okay,
wow.
Good take.
Thank you for asking.
I love that.
Amelia?
Yeah, mine is going to seem pretty lame compared to yours. But
no, it's
not. I'm going to say Lindsay Lohan, just because I feel like, you know, when Avril Lavigne, she joined and she did something with like Tony Hawk and it was like Skater Boy, and, you know, and that was like early 2000s.
Yeah. Yes.
And then Alicia Silverstone joined and she did like her Clueless.
Yes, we're on the same page. It's how I answered it as well. Keep going.
Perfect. Yeah. So I'm just thinking, if Lindsay Lohan does like a Katie impression from Mean Girls, maybe, you know,
We're actually the exact same. That's why I came up with Kate Hudson, because of Alicia Silverstone. She's been so viral because she's reenacting, obviously, these very classic clips, and all the teens like, oh my God, freaking out because I don't know why. But Kate Hudson has so many iconic roles. I feel like she could just call up Matthew McConaughey and grab him for a couple of scene reenactments. And she could go super, super viral. It'd be really famous.
That's
on
free, Kate Hudson.
You're right. You're
it's a free
right.
idea.
That's, the groundwork that's a really is already good idea. Laid. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Agreed with you, Amelia. Next question is from Gretchen Kiesner. And I like your handle. It's at Betch with Gretch.
It's great.
What is your Kirsten Dunst movie ranking? And then someone has a follow-up question for us.
I think
us.
It's Amelia.
Okay. Yes. I decided to co-opt this question. And I wanted to ask everyone for a movie playlist for their favorite actor or one of their favorite actors, actor, actress. Because I feel like this is the time to stay in. You know, it's fall, so mm-hmm. it's perfect cozy movie weather, which is fun. Mm-hmm. So I just picked five movies that I think if you were going to have a Kirsten Dunst movie night, you would have to watch. I said Bring It On, Drop Dead Gorgeous, Spider-Man, Get Over It, and Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. And you can tell that I came of age at a certain time because all these movies are from about the same time period. So,
Amelia, have you seen The Virgin Suicides, Kirsten Dunst?
I have, and it was a little depressing for me.
It's a little dark. I don't know that I'd recommend it. Had to watch it. Read it in high school and watched the movie.
Oh, nice.
That's also a coming of age story, but for a darker mood. I would say.
Right. Did you like the book more than the movie, or did you like the movie more than the book?
The movie had great vibes. But I actually think I maybe prefer the movie because all those people are so good. But yeah, that save that for like a day where you're not in a great mood already.
Yeah.
But that was a great answer. I agree with your order. Yes.
Thank you.
And I love this question.
I know.
So obviously I chose Cate Blanchett. She's my favorite actress. But she's in a lot of like film bro movies. Like you look up Cate Blanchett and people are like, oh, The Aviator, like, oh, you know, just like a lot. And I'm like, listen, I don't want to watch 2 hours of Leonardo DiCaprio and 20 minutes of Cate Blanchett like on my movie night. So this is Cate Blanchett, but for the girlies. We're starting out strong with Carol. Like you can't do any better than that. Then we're going to transition. It is a bro movie, but Jude Law is so hot that it's still for the girls. This is The Talented Mr. Ripley. You can fast forward through Matt Damon. And then we're getting into The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. Also, like, Brad looks great. Kate looks great. It's quite long. So, like, if you need to take a nap on our movie night, take a bathroom break, like, that's your time. We're going to transition into, like, her a little bit older, more recent, like, kind of just having fun era. So we've got Cinderella, in which she's very underrated as the villain. The evil stepmother. Great outfits.
I forgot then she was in that.
Thor Ragnarok, another villainous
turn. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then finally, we're going to end with Ocean's 8, which is just like just a fun time for everyone.
Yeah. For me, this question has big vibes when we get asked like what your book recommendations are. And then I'm like,
gosh.
I don't read because I don't feel like I have one actor or actress that I'm like really tied to and really. Well, I do, but also she's got other things going on like Goop now. So it's like not as much like applicable here. So I went with the lowest hanging fruit because I was genuinely like, what movies have I seen with any actor or actress in it? Guess what? It's Meryl Streep, the most famous actress of all time. Again, apologies for answering this, but we've been on a real Meryl kick on even Cringe Mode, which feels funny because all of her movies are so fucking great. Mm. But if you have chosen to miss any of them when we've covered Meryl, start with Devil Wears Prada. Go with Mamma Mia. Actually, that's like a tight one too for me. I love her in Mamma
Absolutely,
Mia.
Absolutely, yeah.
Then Definitely. It's Complicated. That's a classic. I don't know that's why we haven't covered it. And then it really goes off the rails because then I kind of stop watching Meryl Streep movies and I don't actually know too much, but I have seen her in Kramer versus Kramer.
Oh, wow. Deep cut. Well, maybe not deep cut, but definitely an older movie. Nice.
Yeah. Right. Little Women. Like, I don't even know if I care for her in that movie. And I definitely don't like her in Big Little Lies again, but I was picking at what I have seen Meryl Streep in. So there's my answer.
Fair enough.
That's a good answer.
Fair enough. Yeah.
On that note, next category is TVs, movies, and music. Bendelic Thundercats asked, what cartoon character could you win a fight against? And why is the answer Kim Possible?
First of all, Bendelic Thundercats, you have wildly overestimated our fighting skills.
I was going to say.
I definitely can't take Kim Possible.
Definitely not.
Not many people can.
No, that's kind of the point of Kim Possible, right?
Right. Right.
So I think I could take Phineas, but I don't think I could take Ferb. You know?
Wait, why?
I think Phineas is just a little bitch. Like he, you know. But Ferb, I think, is like low-key scary.
God.
You know?
Yeah.
So at first I was like, I could take Phineas and Ferb. And then I was like, I don't know actually about Ferb. So
Is Ferb the taller one or is he the shorter
Ferb
one?
Ferb is the taller one with the nose who like doesn't say very much, like very mysterious. And like he could be like an MMA fighter.
Oh my God.
And then that's all I've got. I think I could take maybe like Miss Frizzle. No, I don't think I could.
She's got the bus.
Yeah, she does have the bus.
Run you over quick.
Yeah. Sorry. Anyway.
Miss Frizzle running you over. Wow, that would be an image I would love to see. That would be funny.
Yeah. Amelia.
Yeah. I think I was thinking maybe just like any PBS character. I feel like you know, just
they're
like
soft. Yeah.
They're soft.
What about like the bear in the Big Blue House?
Well, but he's not animated, right?
Oh, right. I just was thinking PBS.
Oh, yeah.
But he could probably kick my ass, so not him.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. And you're right. Animated alone, I think you could take. Like Caillou? Fuck Caillou.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
I feel like I could take the naked mole rat in Kim Possible. I feel like he's really Rufus. Small, doesn't do much. Yeah. And then Ron.
And the guy. Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I feel like I could kick his ass. Easy.
Right.
I also think I could kick Doug's ass. Don't know if this is too deep of a cut.
No,
real early 90s. Kate, you know Doug? I feel like you didn't watch television as a child.
No, but I also like didn't live under a rock, you know?
Okay, well, that's great. He's got stick limbs and like four hairs on top of his head. And he feels weak in general.
Yeah.
I love that you have Doug's stick limbs are going down in 1 minute. It's true.
Have you seen my calves? I could kick his ass for sure.
Yeah.
Or Patty Mayonnaise. Really anyone in that cast. And then I think this person asked a follow-up question, submitted a second question, and said, how excited are all of you to watch all the 50 Shades movies? And how far will Liz Kelly get in the movies before she taps out?
Wow.
I would literally pay Liz an undisclosed amount of money for us to do Cringe Moment 50 Shades. It would be so fucking funny. It would literally be... This is a highlight of my life. They're so cringy and
they
would be perfect, but it'll never happen.
The tone of this question implies that like we're going to watch these movies.
It's inevitable.
I don't know why. There's a certain amount of authority that he's asking this with where I'm like, am I going to watch and cover 50 Shades? Because Bendy like Thundercats said I would.
Yeah.
We simply can't, obviously. My cheeks are getting
She's blushing as we speak.
Nearly.
Have you ever seen them?
Title.
Have you ever seen those movies?
And guess what?
You've seen all of them?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, I also read them.
We should have like a Patreon so we can do like
an OnlyFans. Tea time OnlyFans. That's where we'll do the 50 Shades. We'll do it like in 10 years when we're all like we've all left the ringer or something.
Sure.
And we'll just like reunite for 50 Shades Cringe Mode.
Oh like my that. God.
We have to wait for like all of our grandparents to like pass away and then we can do it.
Oh my God. You are a dark evil witch.
They'll never find it.
Jeez. Okay. Moving right along. At Molly Marie asked, what is the single most cursed movie or TV show memory from your childhood? This is so good.
Great question. I had so many that came to mind. And a lot of them happened like we had a van that had like literally one of those like actual VHS players, but it like the screen was like this big, like it was like the size of your hand. And we used to like watch VHSs on car rides like when I was younger. And so a lot of them are like, I remember the three of us, me and my siblings, sitting in the back seat and being like increasingly disturbed by something to the point where then we had to stop it and be like, Mom and Dad, we don't like it. So things that come to mind in that category, Dark Crystal. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that with the puppets. Mm-mm. Did not like that. That one gave me nightmares.
Yeah.
I also remember Adam's Family Values. It's not that it was scary, but it was like more sexual than my parents realized.
Oh.
And so like, I remember we were sitting in the van. We were sitting in the van watching it and like something happened. Like someone was in a bathtub and it was like getting sexy. And I remember we were like, guys, I don't think we should be watching this, Mom.
Oh my gosh.
Dad, I don't think we should be allowed to watch
this. On yourselves.
Yeah, we totally did. We totally did. We also did that with Billy Elliot, which was our first R-rated movie. And our parents let us watch it because it was just rated R for language. And they were like, that's fine. Like, they can handle it. We were probably like teenagers by this point. But I remember we were like, I don't know. They're saying the F word a lot, you guys. I don't know if we can watch this.
That's funny.
So, yeah. And then also Roald Dahl's The Witches. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that, but it's fucking scary.
Roald Dahl is actually really scary stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those ones stuck with me for sure.
How could they not, you know? I think I actually have like a distinct memory, and I was probably like 8 or 7 at the time, and my friend forced me to watch Sleeping Beauty, and the part, and they obviously it was the animated version, but the part where Maleficent comes out, and she's already looks scary. Like, she is a scary looking woman, okay?
Yes.
You know, she's got the sharp angle, she's got that green face or whatever. I don't like it. And she turns into the dragon when she's like fighting the prince or whatever. And she's like, all the powers of hell. And I was like, I don't want to be here. And I was just like so horrified. I used to be very scared of hell. So I just like it really messed me up for a while. So yeah.
Wow. I love that it's like it so is just like specific things. You like don't know why they got you so bad, but they really stick with you.
It scared me. Yeah.
Yeah.
This might be a deep cut. Did you guys ever watch Fern Gully?
Yes.
Fucking great choice.
Jesus Christ.
Oh my gosh.
I realized after looking up to double check this answer, the title is Fern Gully, The Last Rainforest, which really sets the tone of the movie.
Yes.
Haven't seen it. It's this magical, lovely fairy place. And then pollution, big oil, forest fire, like human beings kind of come down and basically are the evil in this movie and wreck these like lovely magical people's homes. It is so freaking scary. I think the actual villain is like pollution. And I was like,
it's
it's
messed up.
It's really messed up.
Yeah.
And it also is like, I just learned from a young age, we are just ruining our planet.
Yes.
1992.
It was ahead of its time. Also, the animation is like kind of the scary 90s animation where it's like a little bit creepy in general.
Yeah,
completely.
So, yeah.
And it's also, there are Pixar. Sexy moments. Yeah.
That's true. I always remember like the dancing scenes and like a lot
the
of
dancing
them
scene?
Are like not wearing very much clothing.
Yes. Yeah.
God, I don't remember that.
And you're like, yeah.
Again, like, I'm am so I glad allowed you guys to watch this? That. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, exactly.
And then also shout out Roald Dahl. James and the Giant Peach. No.
No.
That is a scary movie. Those characters are scary.
Yep.
When he's rolling around in that giant peach. Like, because it's
like the stop animation that is like, it's like Tim Burton-esque. And it's like, if you're a young child, you are kind of afraid of Tim Burton. Like,
yes. Yeah, absolutely. Agreed. Still am.
Next question is from @LauraDevine. Kate's thoughts on Harry Styles in the MCU.
Thank you so much for asking. First of all, spoilers for Eternals, although literally reporters walked out of this first screening and were like, Harry Styles is in the MCU. And everyone was like, that's a fucking spoiler. So he appears in the end credits scene, apparently. I still think I'm being pranked. I won't believe it till I see it. However, I have already been assigned a blog about it. So not to like tease my own work, but when Eternals actually comes out, you can read my thoughts on theringer.com. Also, speaking of Harry Styles, he is performing in LA in a mere few weeks, and I don't have a ticket to his show, you guys. So if you have an extra Harry Styles ticket that you want to sell, please let me know, because I'm approaching desperate levels. I really thought I would have my act together by this point, and I don't. So
help this woman out, people.
Help me out, please. All right, that's it.
Okay. Next question is from @PascalGenevieve. I really want to know what each of your all-time favorite movies are, or maybe top five. Thank you for asking this.
Yes. Thank you so much. I would say my top five kind of like shifts.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Number one, I would say, is The Princess Bride. Although,
great movie.
Whenever I watch my number two, then I'm like, actually, maybe this is my favorite. And that's When Harry Met Sally. So both of those really go hand in hand. Depends on the day. And then number three, I would either say Moulin Rouge, which I love, or A Knight's Tale, which is just like a childhood favorite that I can probably quote every single line to.
Really?
Yeah.
That's love interesting. A Knight's Tale.
It's so good.
Classy broad. Nice answer.
Thank you.
Amelia?
Yeah, I agree with Kate. My favorites fluctuate. I do have like one very favorite that I think will ever forever and always be my favorite, which is The Birdcage. I love that movie so much. Oh my god, I like Kate can quote A Knight's Tale, I can also quote The Birdcage all the time, and I just love that movie so much, so I highly recommend it. Yeah,
my mom's loves The Birdcage, and as we were growing up, she'd watch it all the time, so I watched it all the time.
I love it.
And my sister were way too young, but I've seen The Birdcage like 4,000 times because my mom would always put it on.
I didn't know this. I love that. Yeah. I too watched it at a very young age and was like, okay, but I'm sure that there's something latent in me that, has shaped who I am. But, and then also I have current favorites, you know, I feel like every... So often you're like, you watch this movie and you're like, God, I forgot how much I love this movie and I'm going to watch it again. So I would say my current favorites are Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion, which is on Hulu. I recently rewatched that. Such a good movie. Very funny. Good, feel good movie. The Florida Project, which I know we recently talked about. I like, it's usually like one of those movies where it's like one watch and you're done. But that movie is, it's so good. It's on Netflix, so you can watch it there. And Serial Mom, which is a 90-minute film, and it's on Peacock, and you just have to make a free account and you can watch it.
Nice.
Love it. Thank you. Great picks.
Thanks.
My number one movie, I think forever, like, will be Shakespeare in Love.
I just absolutely
love that movie. If you guys want to watch it, please do. Gwyneth Paltrow, Ben Affleck, Colin Firth. It's phenomenal. It's just such a lovely romance movie. Obviously, there's Shakespearean language, but you don't even notice. So if that, don't let that deter you. It's just so good. It's so good.
And your little face right now is like just beaming.
I love that. And then back in my really annoying film major days, I would have answered There Will Be Blood.
Wish I knew you back then.
Certainly not now, but at one time that was.
That's how Liz got her job at The Ringer, actually. She put that on a resume.
I told that to Sean Fennessy. And then
he was like, you're in.
And then lastly, I think Crazy Stupid Love. I will watch the whole thing every time I see it, no matter where it is in the movie. I really, really, really love that movie.
It's a great one.
That's my answer.
It's a classic.
That is a great pick.
Guys, we have great taste. It's exceptional. I think we should host a big picture personally, but it's fine.
Perhaps. I mean, I've thought that for a long time. Yeah. Just kidding. Just joking.
Next question from @K_Cole. More Survivor season recs after heroes versus villains. Amelia.
Yes. And please feel free to chime in, Liz, Kaya. So if you've watched Heroes versus Villains, which is the 20th season, you've gotten through the first half of Survivor, I would recommend Survivor Cambodia, which, Liz, is that what you were watching?
No, I haven't seen that one yet.
Oh, you haven't? Okay. Survivor Cambodia is fun because it's like returning players, so you know them and you're like, yay, great. And there are fun moments. I would say Survivor Koh Rong, which is another Brains, Beauty, and Bronze season that I personally think is really underrated. They do, every time they do a Brains, Beauty, Bronze season, which there's only been two, but they're both really good season. And anyway, Koh Rong always gets overshadowed by Cagayan because that one's obviously like iconic. I would say Millennials versus Gen X is really good too. There's lots of likable players. Yep. David versus Goliath is like Millennials versus Gen X, and they have a lot of great players. Liz, you saw that one, right?
Mm-hmm. Great season.
Love that one. And then I would also like to point out that Survivor Fans versus Favorites Micronesia is coming to Netflix on November 15th, and it is awesome. I highly recommend you watch that if you haven't watched it yet. So,
yeah, I have nothing to add but that Amelia has never steered me wrong in her Survivor recommendations. She has been my guiding light through my entire journey.
Literally,
banger after banger of season. Just listen to what she says.
You're so nice. I have nothing more
to add. Okay, Amelia, this is Amelia's corner.
I know. I'm sorry.
No, it's great. This is my favorite. At Elena Maslow asked your picks for winner of Survivor. I'm guessing she means this current season.
I think for Survivor 41. I think it looks like we're getting a Shan winner edit, but that will probably end up like deceiving us all, so which is fine. I love Shan, but she's been kind of messy lately. So I think she'll definitely make it to at least the top four, final four. But I just feel like there's no way. It's just weird because the edit seems like she's going to win because we're getting her backstory. She's a narrator a lot of the time, but it's just like that is deception. Mm-hmm. And I think if you take her to a final tribal council, she would beat your ass. So I think she makes it very far. I could also see Leanna winning or Deshaun. They're sneaky good players, and they've kind of been on the periphery, but we've seen enough of them where it's like I could see them, since we're now past the halfway point, I could see them getting more air time, which would be great. Yeah. I love them both. And I would also love it if Nasir won, but he's too nice, you know?
Yeah, he's going to go down, I feel like. I would love if Leanna won. That would be sweet. Right? She's great. Yeah.
Agreed. She is great. And then do we like Jen from Real Housewives of Salt Lake City? Sorry. Salt Lake City. I'm like, da-da-da-da-da. Here's the thing about Jen. I thought she was great for drama and she's really fun to hate, but it seems like she really did try to scam old people out of money, and that is incredibly fucked up. So she is not a good person, and so I do not like her. Anyone else?
Solid answer. Solid okay. answer.
And then, do you think Erica is guilty? And I think this person is referring to Erica Girardi from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And honestly, I think Erica is at least complicit in knowing that Tom, her old husband, I guess ex now, hid money. And I don't know to what extent. And I do believe when she says that he was an overbearing asshole, like I do believe that 100%. But I don't think she is stupid. I think she's a very smart person. And I just think she never questioned where the money was coming from, even though she knew each month how much she was spending and that it was a lot. And I mean, she even goes on Watch What Happens Live and said she spends like 40 grand on glam a month or something. And it was just like, you know how much money you're spending. You knew he was hiding some assets. Like you knew the finances. I don't know if you were totally like, do it, Tom, like hide the money, embezzle it. But I think she knew what was going on. So, yeah.
Good answer. Wow.
Crazy Thank stuff you. Without context. I'm like, good Lord. Hit the money.
No, Jesus.
Damn, Erica.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Psst. Hey, I have a secret.
Uh-huh.
I use Secret Whole Body Deodorant because more than just my armpits stink.
Oh. Can I use it where my bra rubs under my...
Oh, yeah.
And what about down there? You know, my...
Totally. 4 out of 5 gynecologists would recommend it. So I tried it, and now I get 72 hours of freshness. From my pits to my...
Ooh, I love that it's a spray.
Me too. And it comes in sticks and creams too. Go get your Secret Whole Body Deodorant.
The holidays have arrived early with Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday sale. Upgrading window coverings can be a minor project with a major impact. Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Browse premium blinds, shades, shutters. We have your patio covered too. And get unlimited window treatments installed for one low cost. Free shipping and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday sale now. Save up to 45% plus premium doorbusters. Up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Why is it that with sparkling water, I'm always playing guessing games with what flavor I'm drinking? Is it citrus? Is it aluminum can flavored? Not sure. Sparkling ice, though, they really mean flavor. Like in-your-face flavor. Orange mango, black raspberry. Don't even get me started on the strawberry lemonade. Kiwi strawberry slid right into my taste buds' DMs last night and let them know who's boss. No subtleties there and no sugar either. But it does have vitamins and antioxidants. Find sparkling ice at a major grocery store or club retailer near you. Sparkling ice. Anything but subtle.
Now we're going to go to a miscellaneous category. Kathleen Hill asked, if you each had to pick one celeb cookbook to cook from for an entire year, which celeb would you turn to?
Great question. My mom basically did this when I was home for a year during the pandemic, and she loves the Chrissy Teigen cookbooks. And I got to tell you, they slap.
They do.
A few, like, honestly, I highly recommend them, especially for like, if you just like, you know, like if you're kind of a casserole person or like you like to cook things at home that aren't like super fancy, but also are like crowd pleasers. Mm-hmm. Some highlights. I have not personally made them. I just have eaten them when my mom has made them. Some highlights are she does lettuce wraps that are very similar to like the P.F. Chang's chicken lettuce wraps that are really good. You like make it with like the ground chicken and the turkey or whatever, and then you just put it into the lettuce. So good. She has a feta chicken wrapped in prosciutto that's really good with like tomatoes. Mm. And then also a banana chocolate chip bundt cake that my mom has made a lot.
That sounds so good.
That also ships quite well because my mom has shipped it to me in LA, like pieces of it. I have also eaten. So yeah, really good stuff from that cookbook. Highly
my recommend. My mom makes the miso pasta a lot and it's really good. Yum. So yeah, it does slap.
Good stuff in there.
Amelia?
So I've been wanting to try this for a while, so maybe I'll order it off of Amazon. I don't know. But Morgan Freeman, celebrated actor, has a cookbook.
I didn't know this.
I know, right? And it's called Morgan Freeman and Friends, a Caribbean cooking for a cause. It's Caribbean themed. It's for a good cause. And there are other celebrities who have contributed to it, like Tom Hanks, Alicia Keys, Katie Couric. So,
wow.
Yeah. I don't know.
Is this an older book?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I would want him to like read it to me. Like I would want the audio version and I would need him to be like,
smart.
Now mix the flour into the bowl. And I'd be like, okay, Morgan Freeman. You know? Waste it a little bit on the page, me thinks.
Yeah. I've been recently in like a big Stanley Tucci mood. I think it's after watching Searching for Italy. I was like, wow, this man knows his way around a kitchen. And around food. And he actually just came out with this book, Taste My Life Through Food, which is, I think, recipes, but more like stories and personal anecdotes woven through. But he does have cookbooks, the Tucci Cookbook and the Tucci Table, which I think are really cute names. And also, if I'm going to have to cook it for a year, I would rather eat like pasta and things like that. Because my girl Gwyneth has a couple cookbooks, but they look so healthy. And I'm just not sure I could eat off of the clean plate for a whole year.
It's a long time. Yeah.
Understandable.
Would you rather eat out of Gwyneth Paltrow's cookbook for a year or eat at Six Flags for a year?
Okay. Oh, my God. It's like...
You could do Gwyneth. You're a pretty healthy eater.
Yeah.
I'm healthy, but I can't nourish myself from within for a whole year. Like, I don't know that she eats any sugar. That's like my biggest vice. I'm sure it's tough. At least Six Flags has cookies and candy and stuff like that. Moving on. Okay, here we go. At Rim Shut Up said, please give Kate a 5-minute slot to rank the hotness of the main cast of Dune.
I love this.
Thank you so much. I watched Dune this weekend. Good movie. I recommend it. It's not going to take 5 minutes. Okay, here we go. Number one, Oscar Isaac. It's not close. The first time I saw his beard in this movie, it like cuts to him and I literally made a noise. And like, not in the way where they like sit, you're like, oh, I cried in the theater and like you didn't really cry. Like I actually like made an inhuman, like sort of strangled gasp on the first sight of Oscar Isaac in this movie. It's incredible. He looks unbelievable. So he's number one by a lot. Number two, Jason Momoa. And I've never been like, oh my God, Jason Momoa, like marry me. I've never been like that kind of person. However, you got to like get past the beard, which he's clean shaven in this movie. He has his hair tied back. And we don't talk enough about how great face on that guy. Handsome man.
Yeah.
So
the beard does cover that up a lot.
It does. And like I get like sort of the rugged appeal. I know that's like his thing. But like he's a little more clean shaven, like cleaned up in this movie. He has a very fun character. And he just looks great. So number two, Jason Momoa. I was surprised also. Number three, Javier Bardem.
He's in this movie?
He's in this movie. Extremely sexy cast. You just got to say it. Like top to bottom. Just heavy hitters. Javier Bardem, again, like not usually my type. However, he just has like a very mysterious kind of like leader role in this movie. His face is covered up a lot. So you just get his voice and he has a great voice. So he's number three. Number four, Rebecca Ferguson. She's just great. She wears a lot of great veils in this movie. Number five, Sharon Duncan Brewster, who is not as well known, but also just looks great. Very like go get him in this movie. Number six, Zendaya, who is in Dune for like maybe 5 minutes. So that really hurt her time. Also, like, yeah. just you see like little parts of her face, but you don't get the whole effect. She's also quite dirty. So that really hurt her ranking as well. She'll yeah. be higher up in the next one. Don't get mad at me. And also, number seven, our guy Timmy. Here's the thing.
Unbelievable.
Here's the thing. Timmy looks great in this movie. But like, there are like capital M men in this movie, okay? And like, you put Timmy next to fucking Jason Momoa and it's like, this is a third grader, you know? Like, this
oh
is,
my God.
This is a 12-year-old boy. So there are a lot of That's jokes funny. About like how skinny he is. He seems quite young in comparison. Again, like he looks great. The hair is tousled. He's wearing a lot of great coats, but the competition is so stiff for Tim that, yeah, it's tough. And then like literally everyone else in the movie and then Stellan Skarsgård, who plays like this creepy, bloated, like worm thing.
What?
Very tough. Very tough for him. So he is dead last. But it's yeah, really Dune, funny. I recommend it.
Okay, wow. You heard it here first. Mm-hmm. At Holly Salt asked, you know the three gas station snacks meme? That for Target. What three things do you get? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Love it. Great question. Yeah. And it took me like literally 2 seconds to come up with this. So I guess like this really fits for Target. Number one, a necessary household item. You got to get a candle. You got to get a mug. Some sort of bullshit that you'll put on a counter and never look at again. Number two, an unnecessary bougie snack. Something that like I would never tell my dad that I ate. You know, like edamame or like a bottled smoothie that costs $6. Or like a little jar of pomegranate seeds that like you cost way too much. You know, like some sort of snack that you're like kind of embarrassed to be buying. And then number three, an unnecessary beauty item. So like maybe an eye cream or a face mask, something like maybe something travel size from like that little thing that they have where you walk by it and you're like, oh, this costs nothing probably that you just use once and forget about. So those are my three.
Those are great. Answers.
Thank you.
I would say, fancy beverage for
sure. Of course. Of course, Amelia.
Got to do it. Also, a beauty self-care item, which, you know, face scrub or face mask, scrub, chapstick, whatever. And then something on sale. I feel like they always have, you know, pretty good deals.
Good stuff on sale. Yeah.
I'm
similar-ish. I'm going to holiday-themed household items. So I'm talking like a pumpkin candle, not just a candle.
Ooh.
Like a little ornament or like a Christmas blanket, something like that.
Nice.
That you like,
especially right now. It's so true.
I'm really in that mood. And then the second thing I'm absolutely getting is some new fancy clean supply item. Every time I walk into Target, I'm like, they are coming out with the craziest things to clean the house. And I'm literally bamboozled by all of them because I buy my all my cleaning supplies like freaking through Amazon, which I shouldn't do. So then when I go to a store, you wouldn't believe the things they're making for the home these days.
You're like, they're all
that
right here.
They're so pretty. They're saying something new. They're like clean
that
now, which I'm like, oh, this must be good. So I'm always buying that stuff. And then my last thing that I get every single time from Target is this very specific trail mix. It's called Monster Trail Mix. Oh, I don't. It's not even trail mix, but there are some raisins in there. It's like so unhealthy, but it's so freaking good. It's got like M&Ms and then like little mini chocolate chips and then mini caramel chips and like all this stuff in there and like six raisins and the whole thing. It's so good. They come in these big jars. I've only seen them at Target and I got to do it every time and I eat it within a day.
Oh my
those,
God.
Really like any kind of those huge jars of trail mix that they
so
have.
Good.
That aisle
this
is so
looks
dangerous.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would really love this.
God. Now I'm I want trail mix.
I know all this food talk is making me really hungry.
Damn.
Okay, Bridget Geerlings asked, what do you think the next three video titles will be from Christy Carlson Romano's YouTube channel? How dare you make me say that word out loud, Bridget?
Those three words.
Had to do this because love Bridget, great coworker. And you know what? She's right. Christy Carlson Romano is on a tear, not a good tear. It's scary. And I do have three options. The first one is how Facebook's rebranding as Meta affects my children. I feel like she's bound to bring her kids into this sooner or later.
Yes.
And I'm going to say sooner.
Her husband's already gotten a feature. So it's coming.
Yeah. Check out his latest video. It will upset you probably, as it should. The second one is Halloween themed. My razor blade Halloween candy story. She always
perfect.
Has stories.
Amelia.
You know?
Incredible.
And then the The third, I was just thinking, like, you know, apparently Chrissy Teigen is coming back. She's making a comeback. And I'm thinking maybe Christy Carlson Romano will be the one to end her comeback. So my DMs with Chrissy Teigen, because I could see Chrissy Teigen bullying Christy
These
Carlson
These are such
Romano.
Good ideas. It's unbelievable.
I also like am picturing, you know how like some people will just send DMs to a celebrity just for fun? Mm-hmm. Like Christy mm-hmm. Carlson Romano just like spamming Chrissy Teigen.
Oh my gosh, say her name.
Sorry. The things that I've sent over the years to Chrissy Teigen that she has ignored.
Yes. Oh my God. Yeah. Totally.
Oh my wow. God.
Yeah, I can't
good.
Wait for these to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's do a holiday edition category. Yeah. Jomi asks, Halloween is coming up. Also, Jomi's our coworker who we love.
Love Jomi.
Halloween is coming up. What's your number one candy and what's the absolute worst candy?
Now, we're recording this before Halloween, but this will actually, I believe, air after Halloween. So, right. You know, maybe our opinions will change. However, ahead of Halloween, I'm going to say it's got to be Reese's. And I always am like, you know, everyone says this, but it's because it's true. You know, I mean, nothing
They're
is better.
Good.
Nothing is better than Reese's peanut butter cup, in my opinion. However, closely followed
chocolate
by Twix.
And peanut butter.
I love a Twix.
Oh, Twix mm-hmm. is great.
Mm-hmm. And then sort of on the like fruity candy end, I love a Now and Later, which
Me
I
too.
Feel
Those
like
good.
People think is weird. Like I would take a Now and Later over a Starburst any
wow.
day of the week.
Wow.
I
okay,
like
interesting.
I really like the chewier texture and I like the flavor of the Now and Later better.
Yeah. Now and Laters are great. Although Starburst, yeah, okay. Okay.
Starburst are really good in your opinion.
Okay.
Sorry.
Amelia? I honestly, growing up, I always loved when people would give out dots in those little boxes.
Yes. Just like, where there were like three
dots.
Of them in there. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're like all the green ones, and you're like,
oh, man. Yeah.
I love those. I also love it when people give out the Twizzlers, when they give out those like cherry Twizzlers. Pull
I love Twizzlers.
I'm just like, yes.
So. I won't apologize for that either.
I love a good Sour Patch Kids. I think that's my favorite candy.
That's a good one.
And I also love Milk Duds. I know that's more of like a movie candy than Halloween candy, but
that's good.
Those also come in those little boxes. And then like you have to spend the next 5 minutes like getting them out of your teeth so you can eat the rest of your candy. It's worth it. It's worth the sacrifice.
It really is. Okay, what's the worst candy then?
I mean, again, like a boring opinion, but because it's true, like candy corn is true trash and we should just stop manufacturing it. Also Smarties. They're so chalky and like they don't really have a flavor. They're just garbage.
True.
Like nobody wants those.
I ate a lot of Smarties as a kid. I just, those were so bad, but you got to do with what you have, you know?
I know.
It's true.
They're gross though.
Yeah. I would say Good and Plenty because those are like licorice flavored.
Not
and
great. Yeah.
Who likes licorice unless you're like 90? Or I don't know. Maybe you have a different palate. I'm sorry.
I'm going to get a text from my
anyone.
Mom about that one. Going she's soft, a big licorice fan, but it's
my
fine.
Mom loves the Good and Plenty
it's
too.
It's a mom Mom's, candy. It is.
It is a mom candy.
They didn't know better, you know, in their day.
It's true. It's true. And then also, honestly, every year I feel like, or at least when I trick or treated, it was like I'd get 20 mini Snickers. And it's like, what? The hell am I supposed to do with this? I don't need 20, you know?
Amelia, did you see the paparazzi photo that came out like yesterday or today of Selena Gomez walking somewhere and she had a purse full of Snickers? They were like popping out of her bag. Everyone's like, where are you going? And they were the full size ones.
What?
Sure.
Wow.
Oh my God.
Maybe
I love her.
But she's so followed. Maybe she's Jennifer for the Snickers brand. Who knows?
I remember we had a Snickers advertising campaign like several years ago when I was still working in the editorial office. I think it was for the NFL show. And we had like boxes and boxes and boxes of full-size Snickers. And literally I would eat a Snicker bar like for a snack like probably every day for like literal months. And since then I've been like, fuck a Snickers. Like I never want to eat one again.
Also have to specifically call out a Crunch Bar. I got a Halloween variety pack from the grocery store, put it out. I've been eating all of it. Crunch Bars, bad. They all taste like they're 40 years old. They turn to dust in your mouth. Mm-hmm. And they just are outdated. I feel like we're doing more with chocolate. I like the idea, but someone needs to redo the rest of the
ingredients.
Like
we've evolved as a society past the need for Crunch Bars. Yes.
True. Agreed. It's true. Yeah.
Agreed.
Okay, last question. Maya Patros asked, please help me curate the perfect Friendsgiving playlist. This is such a nice question.
I know. It's cute. I thought maybe we should each add like 3 to 5 songs and then like actually make a playlist on Spotify and share it. This is my vision. So I chose 5 songs. I feel like anyone who listens to this podcast knows that you can't trust any of our music taste. So
that's very true.
Proceed with caution. There is no thematic you know, continuation throughout this playlist. We just picked what we wanted. Yeah. So I start off with a little Adele hello, because I always associate that with Thanksgiving. Nice. After the SNL skit where like they're all arguing at the Thanksgiving table and then they start playing it and it like, you know, fixes their family relationships. Great skit. I recommend watching it if you haven't seen it. Number two, Autumn Leaves by BTS, because I'm me. Number three, Fire and Rain by James Taylor, just because like my family loves James Taylor.
Good one.
Four, Emmylou by First Aid Kit, just because I felt like it. Love First Aid Kit. And then number five, Tis the Damn Season by Taylor Swift to get you ready for the Christmas transition.
That's good.
Which is a big part of Thanksgiving. I like that. Yes, thank you.
I said I feel like this is just like really out of place, so I apologize. But
no, it's great.
Dancing on My Own by Robin.
I love this song, Amelia.
This belongs on literally every playlist ever made, no matter the reason.
Yes. I just love this song. It's so good. It's fun. You can dance in your seat while you're eating turkey.
Yeah.
I also
like turn up for dessert, you know? It's like the perfect.
Yeah. Exactly. I said Wild Horses by the Rolling Stones. You know, it's like softer. It's nice. Mm-hmm. And then Hold You in My Arms by Ray LaMontagne. Another kind of quieter, fallish song. I got to put my girl Gwen Stefani on here. I have Cool by Gwen Stefani.
I don't know that song.
It's a good, it's actually like, I would say it's one of her best songs, one of her best solo songs.
Great.
Yeah. And it's about being friends with someone that you've dated previously. So it's like if you're having a Friendsgiving and you're there with someone, you know, you used to date or something, it's like, well, you're cool, you know, because we're friends still.
Layers.
Yeah. There are layers to this. And then I also put down Building a Mystery by Sarah McLachlan. It is kind of like, you know, again, the whole spooky, but like not that scary, fallish kind of
autumn vibes.
Exactly.
Love it. Great pick.
Thanks.
I came to this question last, so I felt I was responsible for the like wrap up, kind of post dinner, kind of you have that last glass of wine before you leave. Everyone's chill, full. So these are all kind of like nice vibe.
I like
that. Slower songs. Texas Sun by Krungbin and Leon Bridges. Really good. Anything by either of those two.
I love Leon Bridges.
Yeah.
Next is a Father John Misty song, Real Love Baby. Again, you just kind of sway in your seat. You had wine. You had your full meal. You're feeling good.
The tryptophan is setting in.
Right.
Exactly. Sixes to Nine by Big Wild Rationale. I don't know if you guys know this song. Really fun. Kind of feels old timey, but it's a new song. Check it out. And then last is this new group that my old roommate turned me on to called Camel Power Club. Their stuff is, again, background, but like really fun. You're like, oh, something nice is playing. You just don't know exactly what it is.
That's the best vibe for like a dinner playlist.
And Get Down is like their most famous song. So I'm recommending that. So, you know, I feel like that sets you off. Then you go home and you go immediately to sleep.
Great stuff. Guys, I think we crushed this assignment.
I think we did too. We'll see.
Perfect.
Okay, that's it. That's it from the mailbag. Next week, we'll be back with our usual programming. Who knows what will happen in the celeb world by then.
Could be anything.
Thank you, Kaya, our producer. Thank you guys for submitting questions. It's always so fun to hear from you. Yes. I'm Liz Kelly.
I'm Kate Hallowell.
And I'm Amelia Wedemeyer.